Yeah, we're giving prizes away, so whoever gets first prize with either the dessert or with, you know, the display, you get a free all-expense tour of Walmart with a dinner at McDonald's after it's over. I mean, it's going to be good. I mean, it's all there, you know? So, amen. Well, we are so glad that you're here today, and keep the building in your prayers. And you know, we're doing pretty good and having to do some things with the city that we didn't think that we're going to have to do, but it's okay. The building is going to be built on God's timing, and we're going to be, it's going to be a great place. Amen. Title of today's message is, The Gospel is Good News. It's not good advice. Okay? And I think that's one of the challenges today as a pastor or someone who teaches that people look at the Bible today more as a history book. You know, we look at it going, okay, well, these are the things that were documented in history. Or they'll look at it to go, well, you know, that's some good advice, because one of the things the Bible says, if you lack wisdom, ask for it. Great advice, but there's good news to go with that. So I really want you to begin the process to go, am I looking at Scripture as good advice, or am I really looking at the Scripture as good news? I want to read Matthew to you, and it's verses 1, chapter 1, 1 through 16. We're going to kind of go through some of the passages. I'm not going to read all 16. But it says, the record of the genealogy of Jesus the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Judah was the father of Perez and Zerah by Tamar. Now remember the name Tamar. Perez was the father of Hezron, and Hezron the father of Ram. Salmon was the father of Boaz by Rahab. Boaz was the father of Obed by Ruth. And Obed, the father of Jesse. Jesse was the father of David the king. David was the father of Solomon by Bathsheba, who had been the wife of Uriah. Jacob was the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, by whom Jesus was born, who is called the Messiah. So all of the generations from Abraham to David, there are 14 generations. From David to the deportation to Babylon, 14 generations. And from the deportation to Babylon to the Messiah, 14 generations. Now, candidly, that is all broken down. There are seven in each one. There's seven, 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 and seven. So here's my question that I want to ask today. What is the first thing that comes to your mind when you think about Christmas? Mike? Presents. Amen. Amen.
The shame is in our society.
No, but it is. It's like, who's going to give me what? You know? What do you think? Birthday. Steve, Jesus, got to be one religious one in the church, you know. Do what? Who said? Oh, tamales. Don't forget either. 4026 Wingtail Way in Pearland, 77584, okay? Just to let you know, okay? I will even come pick them up. Okay? Where is Leo? Y'all related. Okay? Y'all connected. So there is no excuse. Tamales. Okay? Thank you for reminding me about that. I appreciate it. But in all honesty, you know, what's the first thing that comes to mind when you think about Jesus? And it's gifts, food, Jesus. A lot of times we think about the nativity scene. wise men, magi. I mean, the list goes on, frankincense, myrrh, whatever it might be. But have you ever thought about the genealogy of Jesus? Have you ever thought that, I wonder, and I want to show you something today as we work through this. Why did Matthew begin his writings with the genealogy of Jesus? I mean, it's, you know, you look at it again, you would think baby, manger, animals, smell, no room in the inn, whatever it might be. But Matthew goes, no, I want to begin it with a genealogy. So Jesus' birth, when you begin to read it in Scripture, did not start with the phrase, in a land far, far away. Didn't start with, once upon a time. When you and I begin to read about our Jesus, about our Messiah, it's not a fairy tale. It's a reality. You and I have a God of all gods. We have a Lord of all lords. We've got a King of all kings. And the story of Jesus is a real story. Now, when I said the gospel is good news, not good advice, let's kind of go and look at what advice is versus what news is. Advice is counsel about what you must do. But news is a report about what has already been done. When we read Scripture and we look at Scripture as something that we must do, it distorts the totality of Scripture. Because it's not advice, it's news, and it reports what's already been done for you and for me. Advice urges you and me to make something happen. News urges you to realize something already has happened. The biggest challenge with the Christian faith today is that we try to work our way into the presence of something we've already got. You know, advice tells us truly, go make something happen. Well, candidly, we can't make anything happen. And you can't get any closer to Jesus than you already are. Amen. When you and I prayed to receive Christ, Christ gave us righteousness. That meant that we had a right standing, and you and I have the God-given right to stay in the presence of Almighty God, period, case closed. Now, again, the news urges us to realize it's already happened. Today, some people prayed for my back. And it's not the fact that it's going to be healed. It's the fact it already is. Okay? Amen. I've got to get it up here, but it's already healed. Okay? But truly, the situation is good news urges us to realize it's already happened. We have such an awesome, awesome God who has done so much for us that I pray that this Christmas be solely, just totally different than you've ever had one before. Advice says it's all up to you. Go act upon it. But the news says someone else has already acted upon it. See, you and I can't do what God wanted Christ to do. And the good news is we don't have to, because God, through Christ, has already acted upon the needs of mankind. Now, here's the good news that I really want you to begin to think about. The biblical Christmas texts that you read in Scripture are not fairy tale accounts. It's not a fairy tale at all, but they are true accounts of history that don't tell you what to do, but what God through Christ has already done for you. Amen. And we need to begin to operate as such. Now, Christmas, again, is about what God has already done. Kind of like Abraham and Isaac, when he was going to go up and offer his son as a sacrifice, when was that ram caught in the thicket? Did it just show up that day? By some chance, did the ram walk up there and get? No, that ram had been in the thicket from the day of creation. And every promise that God has given you and me have been promised from the day of creation. There is nothing new in the midst of this story, except it's good news, not good advice. Matthew 27 says, about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, and he said, Eli, Eli lama. So Sabachthani, and that is my God, why have you forsaken me? Now, you know what happens in your personal life when you lose a friendship. You know what happens in your life when you and your spouse aren't on the same page. And we all know what happens when mom and daddy gets mad at us. But how would you like to have gone through what Christ went through? And on that day, his daddy turned his back on his own son. And he did it for everybody that is in this room. Now, Hollywood produces fairy tale type movies because society hungers for it. Now, we laughed in the first service. This last 2 weeks, the only thing on my channel is Hallmark movies. Yeah, you better make it. Yeah. But here's the problem. They're the same stinking story. They just change names to protect the innocent. That's all they do. It might be snowing over here, or it might be hot over here, but the whole story is about somebody that comes in. They've got an issue. They fall in love. Something happens. They break apart. And then all of a sudden at the end of the story, they live ever after in total love. Every stinking story is the same thing. I mean, it's there. But because I love my wife, I watch these stories, every one of them. Yeah. I wanted to watch Midway the other night, but no, we watched, Christmas in La La Land, wherever it was. So anyhow, society hungers for these kind of movies. Now, deep down, in every one of our lives, there's a humanist that says, I want to know. I really want to know what love is all about. Or we might go, I really want to be able to believe the unbelievable, to experience the supernatural, to escape death, to triumph over evil. But they're fairy tales, and fairy tales don't come true. Now, how many times have you read a story to your child? A fairy tale kind of story, and man, after you got finished reading the story, your child would go, gosh, boy, I just wish that that was true. Man, I wish that there was we really had this superhero, or man, I just wish that that superhero had all this kind of supernatural kind of strength, or that the hero could be everywhere at every place, or that the hero could fly around the universe. And you know as much as I do that in the fairy tale stories that we read, it's hard to say, yeah. Or is it? Think about this. Christmas is about a God who left the expanse of heaven and traveled to this sinful earth. A God who had the supernatural kind of powers to leave the heavens and to manifest himself in a little person by the name of Jesus. A God who could create miracles for you and me to see. Split the Red Sea, turn water into wine, healed the sick, cured the leper, allowed the lame to walk, and even raised the dead. That's the kind of God that you and I have today. And the great thing about it is, it's not a fairy tale. Well, and if we're going to stay with Hollywood, there's always a twist, okay? So we've got all this great stuff going, but then all of a sudden in the story that I want to tell today, the superhero's people, they turned on him. They beat him. They crucified him. He dies, and he's buried. And that's where so many of the stories end. But you see, we've got a story that we can tell our children this year. One of the greatest stories of all time about the greatest person that has ever lived. But the story keeps going. So we say, yes, his people turned on him. And yes, they beat him so he was unrecognizable. And yes, they nailed him to a tree. And he died. And they buried him. Oh, but honey, but honey, on the third day, our hero rose. And he was walking and he was talking. He was raised from the dead. And he comes back to save his people. Now, what an awesome story to share with the world this Christmas. See, the Christmas story is about bringing the fairy tale to reality. A lot of people just can't get past the miracles and the unbelievable and the superpower. If you're a born-again believer in this room, you're a walking, talking miracle today, and you can't tell me that God doesn't create miracles today. Y'all are going to laugh at this, but if you've been married 30-plus years, that's another miracle today. Connie's going, But in all honesty, I mean, those are miracles that God did. You got up today. You're breathing today. That's a miracle. You had enough mind to drive yourself to church. That's a miracle. Our God is in the miracle-making business. But you see, the Christmas story is about this fairy tale that has come to reality, and it's truly about a God who took all the temporary and he brought it to the eternal. A God who says, yes, evil is real. And evil wants to suck you down into the bottomless pit. And evil wants to kill, steal, and destroy. But I've given you the authority, church, so that you can rise above your circumstances. You can rise above all of the situations in your life. And I've given you the authority to trample on that which seeks to destroy you. And then he wants us to know that there's an unconditional love that could never be broken. You know, it seems like in our own personal lives when someone hurts us, we sever the ties. But see, we've got a God today that looks at us because the Bible says we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. We've got a God that says, I love you. I love you just the way you are. Yeah, you weren't very good last night, but you came and we had a conversation. I love you. Just don't do it again. We have a God that loves us unconditional, and the love that he gives you and me cannot in any way, shape, or form be broken. How awesome is that? Now, God knows that we can't save ourselves. If we could, we would. Okay? Candidly, we are the ones that have put ourselves in the situation that we are today. But why did Matthew write the genealogy? And again, we talked about what's the first thing you see in the nativity scene, you know, food, gifts, whatever. But why is the question, and the answer is it's about the significance of the resume. In the days of Jesus, a genealogy was all about pedigree. It was about who you came from. It was about who daddy was. It was about what royalty you had in your life. It was really a list of the who's who's. Well, if you and I today are asked to write a resume, and hypothetically we have somebody that might have gone to jail and you're applying for a specific job, sometimes we're going to go, ooh, I don't want to put them in because that might mess up my resume. You and I pick and choose what we want in that resume because we want people to see us at our best. And my question goes back again, why did Jesus or Matthew want us to know the whole story about Jesus? Why would he put in the whole list of things that he did in the genealogy? See, there's five women that were listed in Jesus' genealogy. And by listing them, Matthew paints a picture of the most nastiest women, the most immoral women, the most adulterous women, the murderous scenes that had taken place, just a sordid past. He paints the total picture for you and me, which we would not have done if we were in his shoes because we don't want people to see the bad side of our lives. Now think about this. Tamar. Tamar tricked her father-in-law in sleeping with her. Today that would be called incest. But she's listed in the genealogy of our Lord Jesus Christ. Rahab was a Canaanite. She's a Gentile. The Jews hated Gentiles. And if that's not bad enough, she's a prostitute. But she's listed in the lifeline of our Lord. Uriah, his wife was Bathsheba. That was an adulterous affair by a king. Scripture says when kings should have been at war, David's on his rooftop, he's looking down, he sees things that he shouldn't see. He goes, he has an affair with Bathsheba, she becomes pregnant, and what does he do? He kills Uriah. But it's still listed in the genealogy of our Lord. Now, church, I got to tell you, if you want a picture of a dysfunctional family, that's it. But we're no different here. I joke all the time, we are all about three fries short of a Happy Meal. Yes. Our elevators don't go up. They don't. Sometimes people knock and no one's home. But we're no different than them. And I think Jesus wants us to see today more than ever, it's not about the nativity scene, it's about the genealogy. And here's why. Isaiah 1:18 says, come now. And church, you have the opportunity to get out of where you used to be and get up and go to a new place through Christ. But it says, come now and let us reason together. Says the Lord. This is the Lord talking. He says, though your sins are as scarlet, they will be white as snow. And though they are red like crimson, they'll be like wool. All right. See, society doesn't want you to feel this way. Okay? Society wants you to hang on your past. And if you can't get out of the past, you never get to the present. And if Satan can keep you in the past, then God will never get you where he wants you to be. And you and I have got to get to the place to come now. To go, I'm tired of playing the games. I'm tired of all the nonsense. Now is the time that I understand the gifts of Christmas and that I used to be a sinner, but I've been washed with the blood of Jesus Christ. So what do you find if you open up the gift of good news? Well, first of all, the world value is different than ours. The world values, candidly, race. You see it every day. Our pedigree, who'd you come from? Did you come from Rothschild or did you come from Perez, you know? Also, money. Money is one of the biggest challenges in life. You know, we've been in churches before that if Leon was one of the richest givers in church, we're going to treat him a little bit different because we don't lose him, you know. But yet, you know, Steve, he doesn't have anything. Well, hi, Steve. But we don't pay any attention to him. But you see, that's not what the story is about. See, one of the great things about it is the world might set us apart that way, but God never meant us to be set apart that way. See, the true gift of Christmas is that prostitutes and kings can sit at the table. Male and female can sit at the table. All kinds of races can sit at the table. Moral people and immoral people can sit at the table. If you were an alcoholic, you can sit at the table. If you are an addict, you can sit at the table. If you're a prostitute, you can sit at the table. It don't make no difference who you are. You can sit at the table as an equal with everybody else.
Thank you, Jesus.
People come into church all the time. Some have been in prison, and they're worried about what everybody thinks. Some people have been just these sordid kinds of past. Oh, I'm worried about what everybody's going to think. God doesn't want you to hold on to that any longer. See, the true gift of Christmas is that you no longer have to prove yourself to anybody or anything because it really doesn't matter. Success, failure doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Satan wants you to go, oh, but you have fallen short. And our response needs to be, you bet I have. You bet I have. But my daddy came over and picked me up from the gates of hell and brought me up and stood me tall. And I'm a child of the Most High God. That's the kind of Christmas present that you and I need to work on. See, the true gift of Christmas is that you learn that life is no longer about you. It is all about what God through Christ has done for you. And that he took your place on the cross and did for you what you couldn't do on your own. That, my friends, is good news. Give God a hand clap of praise.